The Bird Show.
We're paying $100 for your confession. We're calling it Morally Gray Monday.
I actually think this fits better than the
truth will set you free.
Yes. Every time we do this, we're all like, should we give him $100 for that?
I always felt like I needed a shower afterwards. I'm like, something about this just feels slimy.
We've rebranded it.
Yes.
It was the truth will set you free. Now it's Morally Gray Monday.
Tell us what you did that is morally gray, and we'll decide if we want to give you $100.
All right, Nick is on the voice disguiser here. We will pay you $100 if your confession is believable. Go ahead, Nick.
About 8 or 9 years ago, I had a one-night stand with a friend of mine, and she ended up getting pregnant. And we have a son together, and my wife now has no idea, and none of my family does either, that they have a nephew somewhere out there in the world.
Whoa, that's good.
Is this the first time you've ever said this publicly?
Yes, it is.
How does it feel to say that out loud?
Oh, my heart is racing right now.
I bet. Is it a bad time to tell you our voice disguiser is not working?
That's not true. You're going to give this person a heart attack.
That would be karma. So nobody has any idea whatsoever. The child is how old now?
I would say he'll be 10 in like 2 months.
10. For a decade, you have held this secret.
So I love the confession. Yeah. Where's the morally gray aspect of this, though? Because morally gray, it's kind of like your intentions are good, but maybe do the ends justify the means?
Did you have an affair on your wife?
We were in a separation at the time. We had gone through some stuff, and we weren't married, and we weren't together, but it wasn't an actual separation like it was in mine.
We were on a break.
I was about to say that.
Okay. All right. There it is.
Yep.
They were on a break.
Well, and also, too, like, you know, the morally gray aspect of having a child out there that, you know, nobody knows about. That's pretty
a hidden
gray.
That's very gray. Child. That's super gray. Yeah. That's black. All right, Nick, hold on 1 second. All right. I didn't exactly buy his story, to be honest with you, but we'll give him the 100.
You don't think so?
No, because I think you know how old your kid is.
Hesitation on that question?
Yeah.
That's what made me buy it.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. Because I think if it were a fake story, you'd be like, he's 10. But not having a kid out there and not being connected to your child and not really paying attention, which is sad. But yeah, that's what made me buy it.
All right. Melanie wants to be on The Voice Disguiser also on Morally Gray Monday. What's your confession?
When I was 18 years old, just graduated high school, I had sex with a cop on duty in a church parking lot in the back of his police car.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's so much wrong about
this. Yeah, I have one question. Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah.
You go, girl.
And he was, like, the chief of police.
Stop.
He was the chief of police? You were 18?
Absolutely.
How old was he?
Oh, 45.
What the heck is going on today?
This went from the next romance novel I really want to read to never mind.
No, some people are still going to read this book, Cassie.
Click E.
Yeah, so.
Whoa, in the church parking lot also.
It didn't happen just once.
Oh, it didn't happen just once. This was, okay.
No.
Did you use the handcuffs?
No. Those are disgusting, by the way.
Yeah. Are they?
Yes. Long story, but don't ever.
They
yeah.
Hurt.
You never want a cop to put handcuffs on you because they're gross.
She said they hurt. How do you know? How do you know they hurt? Huh?
Time for another confession, I think. In the church parking lot. I don't even think I'd be able to perform in the church parking lot.
Not in front of Jesus.
Okay, hold on, Melanie.
Well, me and Jesus are really good right now. So.
No. And you're, okay, hold on.
To be fair, you are geographically closer to the confessional booth, so.
Right.
Get something off your chest.
It's one-stop shopping.
By the way, cops aren't supposed to do that, especially when they're on duty.
What?
Yeah, I
they're
know.
They're not?
They're not. That's not allowed.
I don't think anybody is supposed to do any of that on duty while at work.
You know, she's just thanking the officer for their service.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys are on fire this morning. Hey, Kenzie, good morning. You are on The Voice Disguiser as well. It is Morally Gray Monday for $100.
So I came home late from work. My dad was traveling, and I walked into my mom's room to tell her I was home, and I caught her with another man. Oh, and no. I never told anybody. I never said anything to her. I just shut the door, walked out. We saw each other and just acted like nothing ever happened. You... I never told anybody.
So after seeing that, and your mother knows you saw that, you two to this day have never spoken of it.
No, we have not. Like, she was in a confrontation, and so we just pretended like it never happened, and I didn't know what to say, so I just...
I didn't realize non-confrontational was hereditary. Right.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to cause any problems, so yeah.
That's crazy. And you were how old at the time?
I was 17.
And you're how old now?
Now I'm 35.
Never come up.
Well,
never come up.
That's in the gray for sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's way over gray. Yeah, hold on.
Please take five.
Oh, of course. Five?
Five.
What's on five?
Please take five.
Kyle, you are on the voice disguiser.
Okay, cool. So I hired a lady of the night one time because she looked like a friend of mine's mom, and I used to have a crush on her.
What is the matter with us today? What is the matter with us?
Wanted to take five.
Okay, just because she looked like a friend's mom. Okay, and you were how old at the time?
23.
Yeah, at 23 makes sense.
Curious, Kyle, because I know how, like, you know, bros can get. Did you ever disclose to your friend that you booked a prostitute because she looked like his mom?
No. I'll never tell anyone. Well, I told you guys that, but not him.
Don't be silly, Kristen.
Did you call the prostitute by your friend's mom's name?
No. In my head, but not in my head.
You didn't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I think we're done here.
I think that's a great one to end on. You know what? It was a sweep. Everybody gets $100. Congratulations on being morally gray.
That's The Bert Show.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Her daughter was gallivanting all around the world on a private jet. Every corner of this earth, there she was, right? Getting her bills paid by this sugar daddy also. Mama did not like that, though.
Yes, her young 20-something-year-old daughter is in some kind of business relationship with a, you know, older 50, you know, 50... older 50-year-old man.
She's 22, right?
22. Yeah. And the mom was like, listen, this is not what I want for my daughter. She is so intelligent, graduated top of her class. She is really smart when it comes to, computer engineering and computer software. She's beautiful. She's a catch. I just don't understand why she is hanging out with this old geezer. Yes, I know they're on private planes. Yes, I know he's paying for her rent. Yes, I know he gave her a gas card. Yes, I know she gets to go to exotic locales. But why would you want that kind of lifestyle?
The more we talk about this girl, the more I'm about to call her up and be like, hey, y'all want a third?
So she needed help texting her for a texting tutor, trying to convince her daughter to drop the sugar daddy. Well, her daughter was about to hop a private flight to the Maldives.
Didn't have a lot of time to text.
No, didn't. And so mom just, at the end of the day, did we talk her daughter out of, dropping this dude, severing ties with him? No. But mom put out there, like, listen, I just want you to be happy. I want what's best for you, and I want you to be safe. So if at any point in time this thing goes south, just know I'm a phone call away.
Abby nailed this one right from the start. Like, there was nothing that we were going to be able to say to this 22-year-old for her to give up this kind of lifestyle right now, especially because it didn't appear as though there was anything physical going on.
Yeah, you're telling me I'm in a decent business relationship with this old crusty dude, and he's going to pay for me to go to the Maldives? That's like a $50,000 vacation. And I'm going for free, and I'm not mad about it. Yeah, I'm going to the Maldives.
And Lisa kept saying about her daughter, she's so smart, she doesn't need this. Well, yeah, she's smart. Look at the arrangement she's got.
She's a genius.
So mom is back here. Were there any repercussions over the weekend? Hey, Lisa.
Lisa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
So did you talk to your daughter from the Maldives over the weekend, or what's going on?
Yes, I texted her and we got into this big argument and she blocked me.
Oh no.
Yes.
Like on text or on social?
So now, like on social media. So now I can't keep track of her.
Well, what happened? What happened after the texting tutor that this happened?
Did you just push too hard after that?
Like, she's still there. We were going back and forth, and like I just couldn't keep it to myself, and I had to tell her, like, you know, I know you're enjoying yourself, and I know you're living like your best life, but you're just, this is not right, and you don't need this man, and this is too much, and so you have to like end it and come home. And
yeah, she blocked.
Yeah.
You went so in hard.
This is exactly what we told you not to do. That's why we still had communication with her when she went to wherever she was heading. Because it was kind of we were doing it with empathy. Like, hey, just want to let you know, if this goes sideways, I'm here for you. And then you started coming down on her while she's on a private plane or she's on a beach somewhere in the Maldives. The last thing she wants to do is deal with you. She's having the time of her life. So she blocked you. Now, when she gets home, it might be a different situation, but she didn't want to hear from you.
I don't know. Like, I went crazy at home. Like, oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. And but she didn't block her aunt. And I, like, so my sister is, like, seeing everything. My sister is reporting back to me. It is driving me crazy. I don't know.
Well, you know, Lisa, the more you push, the more she's going to pull away.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the good news is at least you have someone that's in communication with her.
Yes.
For safety reasons. So it might not be you. This is temporary, but at least you know where she is and what's going on.
Honestly, it might be a healthy thing for you because I feel like it would be a constant reminder if you saw her posting on her Instagram stories or posting a photo on her feed.
God. It's not a reminder. Do you hear my voice? I lost my voice. I've been arguing with my sister because she's reporting back to me and she thinks it's great and she's encouraging her. And this is, like, so not what I want.
Lisa, your daughter has drawn a very clear boundary, and she's blocked you because of it. Which, by the way, if she doesn't have a private account, you can log in, create a fake one, and see all of her stories. So you can still, you know, cut yourself online emotionally by looking at them, which I don't recommend. But she's drawn a boundary. This is what she wants, and she's made it very clear. And she's made it clear that it's either you're on board with it or at least you accept it. You don't have to promote it and be like, this is great. But either you accept it or you don't get contact and you don't get to see her life. So you're at a crossroads. What do you want as her mother? I know that, yes, you don't want her to date this guy, but if your option is having your daughter in your life, knowing she's dating a sugar daddy, or being cut off from her, and now it's the ball's in your court.
I don't want to be cut off, but I don't know if I can take it. Like,
listen,
seeing here, everything that's going on.
Lisa, parent's a parent here. You know, and I said this when we did this on Thursday or Friday also, is that there comes a time as a parent where you can express your concerns to your kids, but they are adults also. I'll give Stacy and I credit with our kids when it comes to this. We're not dictating what they do anymore. We're not judging what they do anymore. So when they're making decisions or they come to us, we will express our concerns and then it's their life. And I feel like you're holding on to their life so tightly that it clearly is drawing a wedge between the two of you guys. You have got to let her do what she wants. I mean, it's not like she's committing murder. It's not like she's on drugs or anything like that. But I do understand value-wise, this is not what you thought you taught her. So it's very disappointing. But you coming down on her so much clearly isn't working. And when we texted for you on Friday, we came to it with empathy, and she accepted that. You had communication with her, and then you took control of the situation, and that's when she cut you off.
Yeah, but I don't want her to be hurt.
But maybe she will, maybe she won't. That's your own, what you have, that's the narrative you have going in your head, right? And I get, as a parent, like, you're the one that's lived longer, and so you're going to work out every worst case scenario, right? And that's not where her brain is right now. I mean, let's be honest, her frontal cortex isn't even fully developed yet. She got 3 more years. It's still bacon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I get that, but what you now have to do is take a step back and realize, all right, I got to let my daughter live her life because she is an adult, and then I got to be there for her in case anything goes awry. But you've warned her. Like, you did your due diligence as a mother. Now you're going overboard,
and you're over-mothering, and that's why your daughter has blocked you.
Okay, so, like, what do I do? What do I say now?
You got to wait for her to come home.
I don't know what to say. What?
Space.
You got to wait for her to come home.
What?
Yeah. What else are you going to do? You going to fly to the Maldives? I mean, you got to wait for her to come home, and then you got to have a face-to-face to her with her. And if I'm you, I'm saying, hey, I'm sorry I lost control. That I'm disappointed that this is a situation that you're in right now because it's not the one that I would want for you. But at the end of the day, this is your life.
I don't think you say anything to her. Mm-hmm. And listen, as the one person in this room that doesn't have kids, I don't want a child-free splain to you, but I am a daughter. And I think this is just a part of being a parent where you recognize that everything your child does involves some kind of risk. Like when you send them to school, what if they get bullied? What if they fall down and get hurt and I'm not there? This is just the playground on a much bigger scale. And I know it's scary and I know it's hard for you, but at the end of the day, this is the phase in life that she's in, and she's going to do things you don't agree with. And unfortunately, you have to take a deep breath and let her make these mistakes on her own. She's going to get hurt at some point. You can't put her in bubble wrap. She's a human. But I think the best thing you can do is just continue to let her know that you're going to be there for her.
Look, I understand your frustration as a parent. And if this was my daughter, I wouldn't be happy with it either. I got to be honest with you. But the way I would handle it, you can't control this situation. You can't. You can only advise, and then they do what they want. That's it.
Find somebody who you can vent to and use that person as like somebody to lean on. And then like just let it breathe, sit, wait. She'll come back to you.
Therapy is a lot cheaper than a flight to the Maldives. Or so I've heard.
All right, Lisa, we got to run. Please keep in touch with us, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you guys for everything.
All right,
bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
See ya.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, this moment on the show couldn't get here fast enough.
You've been itching.
We should have done this at 6 in the morning, okay? So if you were listening on Friday, we came up with a last-minute idea to send our producer, Messy Mikey, to Knoxville for the Georgia-Tennessee game.
By the way, did you know there's a river next to the stadium?
I tailgate. That's the beauty of that stadium, is you tailgate on the river, and then you walk to the stadium.
Okay,
it's awesome.
I have been to that stadium, did not realize there was a river next to it.
You can see it from half the stadium. How is that possible?
I have no idea, but I was watching the game, and I looked at Bart, and I'm like, we went to a game there. There's a river? I had no idea.
It's one of the most unique SEC experiences that you can go to. I love that stadium. As a Georgia fan, I'm saying this. I love that. It's loud. Everybody's in that really ugly crimsical, whatever you want to call it.
It's orange.
Orange-ish thing. But they have so much spirit there. It's a great campus, and it's a great stadium. But game day on ESPN was there. This was the biggest game of the weekend, Georgia and Tennessee, which turned out to be a classic, an instant classic. But we wanted to get Messy Mikey on game day. Now, if you're not familiar with ESPN, game day is the broadcast group that goes out to the biggest games each and every Saturday, and they broadcast from before the game, and the students show up early and they've got all their signs and they're going crazy and they're doing the show with all these crazy fans in the background. So we're like, hey, George is playing. Let's get Messy Mikey on television. See if he can pull it off. So we send him out there, and sure enough on Instagram, there's Messy Mikey on game day. All right, we got to take this from the start. You got a lot of explaining to you. Okay, because when we left, we really put this in Jackson's hands, Tommy's hands, and yours. We didn't know what the sign was going to look like. We didn't know if you were driving, if you were flying. It was all up to you guys.
No, y'all were no help at all. I was supposed to walk out of here with like my signs made and everything. You guys helped. Zero. I got to say, whenever I got this assignment, I had probably every negative emotion about it that I can possibly feel. In retrospect, I had myself a great little adventure, and thank you for sending me.
Okay.
I actually had fun.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okay, let's, before you even leave Atlanta, take us from there.
So, we finished the segment that day. Immediately, I have to start working promotions. I'm working. I have an event. I have to go work my event. My plan is finish the event, come back to the station, go to my apartment, get some clothes, get on MARTA. Traffic was bad. Couldn't go back to my apartment. So I had to go with the clothes on my back and whatever was already in my backpack.
From the radio station.
From the station.
You're amazing.
I just had to hop on MARTA and go.
Well done.
terrible thing. Didn't have a toothbrush. I just had a green shirt, which it's not red at least, but it was just a green shirt, which threw a lot of people off.
Go Marshall.
So I flew in and I got myself an Uber. My Uber driver was this guy. It grew up right next to the university, went to the university, so he had so much passion about it. He's a retired guy. He just drives Uber in his spare time. He stopped charging me and just drove me around the whole city, showing me around.
Come on.
Like, yeah, he had a lot of passion. I love the guy. He's a great guy. So he showed me exactly where I'm going to be set up at. It's Ayers Hall, something like that. Like,
so you told him what the assignment was.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I had to walk up this mountain of stairs. And so he goes, drops me off at my hotel. I go put my stuff in, and then I walk back outside to go scope it out. Because, you know, people camp out there to have a good spot in the pit.
I don't think I realized that. Like, I think you said that they're...
Well,
okay.
I thought there'd be 3 or 4 tents set up, just people kind of hanging out, ready to go in the next day. This is 10 o'clock at night, the night before.
Friday night.
Yeah, and the doors open at 6:30, I think, in the morning. Probably at least 1,500 kids lined up already.
What?
There was a staircase, and it spiraled all the way down the staircase, all the way into the street. It was like, it took you 10 minutes to walk the entire line.
Oh, God, to be young.
I know, right?
Right. I'm way too soft for that now.
No, the panic that I felt, because you guys just spent $1 million to send me out to Knoxville, and I'm like, this is impossible. I can't even go into the event. This is not going to be possible. So I had to make a decision. I said, I'm already wiped out, keep in mind. I was like, I think I have to go to Walgreens, get some supplies, and just go get in line. I went back to my hotel room, ordered Taco Bell, didn't do it. So, okay. Taco Bell got there at 12 o'clock, ice cold, scarfed it down. I had to wake up at 2:30 in the morning. So
you got you basically got a 2-hour nap.
I had a nice little nap, had to wake up. My mom called me. She was tracking me, and she thinks that the dot is like super accurate. So she said I was on the parking garage walking around, and then she saw me step to the edge. I don't know what.
She's like, yeah. Are you jumping off the parking garage?
So she was texting me frantically while I'm in the shower. Are you okay?
Don't do it. You got so much to live for.
And I was so mad. I answered the phone. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm going to the game. So I walk over there now. Where that whole line of people was, a trail of trash. I said, what happened here? Is it the, what's that thing in the Bible where everyone gets lifted up to heaven?
Oh, the rapture?
The rapture. It looked like the rapture.
Or the apocalypse?
It's all just trash and clothes and pillows where people used to be.
Oh, wow.
And so I walk all the way back up the flight of stairs. The whole thing had congregated into a big ball of people. Everyone had congregated up at the top. I guess that's their idea of a line, is getting a big ball up at the top.
This is at 2-something in the morning now.
Yeah, this is okay. Probably 2:45, 3.
Okay.
And just a huge ball of people. Someone has a big speaker, just constantly playing Rocky Top. I'm going to get back to that.
All right. As you continue on, as you're looking at the time, don't worry about hitting it, because we'll do it on the other end.
Okay.
We'll finish it then if we have to.
Okay. So I see that big congregation of people, but then I see the rails all around it. So I point out where the pit is. The pit is not that big, but then there is a lot of rails around it. And I'm like, I could stand at these rails.
So the pit is the area right behind the guys that are going to be on TV. The stage
exactly.
is set up, and then there's the pit.
And that's where you can get your hard hat. Okay. What else happens there? That's where you get the lottery ticket to be able to kick the field goal.
Okay.
So then I decide, I'm looking, there's the field goal. Here's where they're kicking from. I think I'm going to set up right here. I found this tiny little cove that I can squeeze myself into, and I can stand there with my sign and try to get on the TV.
So let me explain the field goal to you guys. Pat McAfee, each and every week for game day, pulls a kid out of the crowd normally and offers him like $100,000 for how long is the kick? Is it a 30-yarder?
33 yards.
33 yards. Regulation. Okay. So, and they randomly pick a kid out of the crowd. And usually it's like $100,000 if he makes this kick. Sometimes they raise it like they did this weekend with the kid who totally messed it up, $200,000. So you know that that's going to be on TV. They do it every week. So Mikey was thinking, I know this is going to be on TV, so I'll just set up behind this kid where he's kicking.
Yeah, and I think the kid was offered $600,000 this time.
Is
and then
that
they,
right?
And they cut it in half to $300,000 for a second kick. Yeah, so I got myself into that little cove. I think I started something because 10 minutes after I'm standing there, I'm packed in already. There's people that have just jammed in right behind me.
So you're like the first person on the dance floor.
Yes.
Okay, they see you doing it and they're like, hey, follow that dude.
Yeah, which is awful because then I have no space. One thing about me, terrible at standing. Can't stand for long periods of time. My back hurts. I'm a girl.
22 years old? 23 years old?
Yeah.
I can't do it. What do you have to pee?
Huge problem. One of the biggest problems. That's another thing about me. I always have to pee. Yeah, humongous problem. I was able to pee one time. So, all right, here's what happened. Is that drive time?
Yeah.
Is that I sit down because I'm like, you know what? If I'm sitting down, I am creating more space for myself than just my two little legs would. Also, I was like, can I try to take a little nap here? So I had my head in my hands trying to sleep and did that for like 10. Oh, brought portable chargers, forgot the cord, couldn't go on my phone.
Dang it.
Oh,
for
no.
Okay. Like 9-10 hours.
Now, are there other kids around you that seem to be in the same kind of mindset? You are also exhausted, looking for a nap.
No, everyone's screaming and stomping around. I'm getting splashed with like mud and stuff, just sitting down there trying to sleep. Impossible to sleep. Not a possible thing. I finally stand up and everyone, oh, look who decided to get up. There's a common theme of people making fun of me the entire time. Do I look like an old man now? How'd they know I'm not part of them? Maybe the green shirt.
You're on The Burt Show.
So our producer Mikey now is on the game day set. He's trying to get on television. He's been out in Knoxville. We sent him from Atlanta. And his mission is to get on ESPN on Saturday morning. And he leaves here. He still has his clothes on from the radio station. Ends up going to Knoxville. And now it's 2:30 in the morning. And Mikey is still in line. And they're not even due to set up. And I don't even think it starts until 8 in the morning, right?
It starts at 9.
Nine, okay.
Or was it 9 or 9:30?
I feel like I was watching the pregame to see
you. Yeah. So I'm sitting down there in the grass. Something I forgot to mention, as cold as I've ever been, maybe. I had short sleeves on. I had a sweatshirt. I left it in my backpack at the hotel because it says across it, I found it here at the station because I had to run out of here. It says made in Atlanta. And it's like, someone's going to punch me in the face. They'll see through my facade here.
Because George is playing Tennessee.
Exactly. Okay. So I couldn't wear that sweatshirt as cold as I've ever been. It was terrible. You'd think you're packed in with all these people. The people were cold. Everyone was cold.
And you're not going to find a Tennessee fan that's like, oh, look at that Atlanta guy. Hey, let's give him a hoodie. No way. No way.
So eventually I had to... People saw my dumb sign. One side said, what was it? I don't know about football, but Bert's paying me to be here. The other side said, help, my boss is watching, making me watch sports. To someone on the outside, neither of those things make any sense.
Right.
So I had to explain. I work for this morning radio show. Now people got into calling me Jubal. They all started calling me Jubal.
Oh, God.
Everybody called me Jubal. So.
It's another morning show.
Did you know who that was when they started calling you that? Or were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I guess they're big on the TikTok. So, yeah, everyone's seen that stuff. And so everyone's making fun of me, calling me Jubal, calling me the guy that snickers in the background. And I had no defense. I was too exhausted to even go at it with any of these people. Like, I just didn't even know how to entertain any of this. So I just kept on standing in my spot, slowly withering away. So I stand there for another 5 hours.
Damn. Do you have anything to eat at this point? Anything around you? You can't leave your spot.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't actually think about food. Yeah, I don't know. And people weren't really drinking very heavy. I saw like one guy drink a beer. Everyone was just standing around waiting for it to start. So the original group of people that were surrounding me, I liked them a lot. They were fun to be around. They gave up after 5 hours. They did all that work and went home.
Wow.
Or went to Waffle House. So that was crazy. But then the guys who moved in, Wasn't a big fan, but like I bent over to get my water and the guy behind me is like, oh yeah, like, you know, acting like I'm like twerking on him or something. Didn't like that. Calling me Jubal, accusing me of weird stuff. So the thing finally starts and I'm exhausted. I'm disgruntled. Everybody had so much pep. I had no pep in me whatsoever.
So game day is now on the air and...
Well, it's like an hour before like a DJ comes out and trying to get everyone excited. Rocky Top, at this point, I've probably heard it 36 times. It was so fun the first two or three times.
It is
then,
catchy.
Yeah.
Good old Rocky Top.
Wait until you hear it 36 times. These people are robots. They never once stopped going, bah, 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 bah. It was annoying. It was annoying. Now, it's a good song, but it's annoying.
If you haven't picked up on this yet, Mikey's not a football fan. No. So he knows none of these traditions. Okay.
Yeah, that's a big problem with it. Yeah, the Rocky Top driving me crazy. Here's the thing. I am incredibly lucky I didn't happen to be wearing red. The second a Georgia fan would even reach the vicinity, thousands of people are booing you. Mm-hmm. And so they just had to walk away.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be like half and half.
Nah.
It's home field advantage right there, man.
It's insane. Yeah. It's crazy.
It would be the same way if it was at Georgia. If a Tennessee fan rolled in there, man, they'd get a hard time also.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. At a certain point, I started... Yeah. I don't care about football at all, but I started becoming offended on behalf of Georgia. Like, hey guys, you can't talk to us like that. But I had to keep the facade on, act like I'm just a green shirt guy.
Green shirt. Just a big Marshall fan.
Yeah, I'm just a good guy.
Love Michigan State.
So I don't know. Like a big guy walked in with a Georgia shirt on. He was like, "I'm gonna be strong." He went into the belly of the beast, and still he couldn't take it. He left. And yeah, I don't care about football at all. But I'm like, you guys can't like Dixieland Delight. They say FSU, F Georgia. I'm like, hey, what do you say F me for?
They F four, not FSU. Yeah, but
okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
yeah, so. The thing starts.
The thing is game day.
Game day. Okay. I don't know. The guys go on stage. I don't know. All I know is I do like Pat McAfee. I've seen some of his stuff. I like the guy.
Everybody does.
So the sports analysts are up there talking about all the games lined up for the day, just running their traps, blah, blah, blah.
And you can hear all this.
Yeah. And it's up on these big screens. And this is the point where I got to start really pushing this sign. I got to get this sign out there. If I don't get on TV, this was a wasted trip. This needs to happen big time.
And you're not behind the set where they're doing the show.
No, not at all.
So you can hear it, but you're not there.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, because one of the rules is you can't have a sign on a stick, but I guess that's only for the pit. So people out where I was had these huge long sticks, and you could see those sometimes in the background of the TV shot.
I got to tell you guys, just as a sidebar, as I got up at 8 in the morning and they're doing pre-game day also, I have my face a foot from my TV and I am looking at the crowd and I am trying to search out Mikey because I don't at this point know what he's wearing. I don't know what his poster is. I am looking at every student. I'm looking for that hair that he's got also. I can't find you anywhere.
Yeah, well, it was a real sea of people. There was really no chance. Here's the thing is that there were 9 cameras floating around. They had one up on this huge, I don't know, just this huge set up to 4 poles and so it can move around everywhere. So every time a camera comes around, everyone has to look up and go, woo! And so we did that about 2,000 times. Finally, this was during the pre-show thing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw myself on the screen. And so I look for a text from Bert. I look at his story. He's posting about like his fiance's eye contact in the shower. And I'm like, great. If that's the only time, come
contact
on.
Contactless, yeah.
Yeah, so just every time a camera comes around, you got to, look at my son.
Rocky Top.
Yeah, there were some good signs out there. Mine was just so weird. Everyone else has had to actually do with something. Mine was so strange. It was kind of embarrassing to hold out there. Like a good one was like University of Getting Arrested. That was a fun one. Did you guys see the Good Boy Pyramid? I don't know who the people were on it, but it was funny. It was good stuff. People were funny. They had funny signs. I had some stupid signs. I felt like an idiot. Kept on getting called Jubal. Yeah, I don't know. I was just so put out. by because I have to pee. This is terrible. I'm hungry.
But you're there on the front row with the poster.
I'm freezing, but I'm there. I can't leave. So this fellow behind me, this is like maybe halfway through the show. And I'm like, this is getting bad because I can't just be shown on the prelims or whatever that. I don't know what a prelim is, but I can't just be shown on the pre-show. I got to be on the real thing. This fella behind me climbs a tree. This guy climbs a tree. That's it's as simple as that.
So he can see the field goal kick that's supposed to happen.
I think.
Or
I want to
see the whole set.
He just looked like a tree climbing kind of guy.
He's just giving squirrel energy.
And so now comes the TV man. He comes around. He's got his big TV camera, and we're like, "This is the moment."
Yep.
Wasn't holding my sign.
Oh,
but
your face was on TV.
I was on TV. Yep. It's on SportsCenter. It's on ESPN. It's on everything.
He was on SportsCenter. And when SportsCenter sent the clips out on Instagram and all social media, also showing this guy in the tree, Mikey is the guy you could see right underneath him.
Yeah.
So he's on every shot.
Doing this stupid peace sign thing I thought was going to be funny. I went like, ah. It did not come across as funny. I look frat. And yeah, I don't know.
But you got the sign on.
Tree guy saved me. Now I know if I was to ever have to do this again, climb a tree. Easiest way to possibly do this. Easiest way to handle it. I got on. My mission was done. I was texting Jackson. I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom so bad. Can I just leave, you think? And he's like, no, just wait for the field goal kick. I'm like, all right, only 2 more hours, I guess.
So at this point, it's only your face on TV under Tree Guy.
That's not you with your poster board or anything.
Okay.
And I was like, yes, I have to get the poster on. I made the poster. The poster made the trip to Knoxville. I'll do the poster. So I wait around. Finally, it's time for the field goal. The guy kicking the field goal, because I kept on, he came up to me asking about my sign, so I was talking to him. Did not seem that confident at all. This is just giving you a little behind the scenes.
Oh, the guy that did the kick was talking to me? Oh, really?
Was not that confident. He didn't care. He had a good vibe, this guy.
Yeah.
He was just out there to have fun, it seemed like. $500,000 or $600,000 on the line, out there to have fun. I respected that guy. See, that gave me a little pick-me-up. I'm like, you know what? He doesn't care about $500,000. I'll stand out here. It's all good. I'm really pushing the sign at this point because now Pat McAfee's out there. They're doing all the warm-up stuff. And I'm like, this sign's getting on all the cameramen. There's like 6 of them. They all come stand right in front of me. So I think if you watch the broadcast, you can see like pieces of my arms, maybe like a white corner of my poster board. That was a bust. But my poster did make it on at some point.
It did. Yeah.
Which I don't even know when that was. But
a few times.
I guess it was whenever they were doing just like a warm-up like promo kick for him, okay. Like where they just showed like him fake kicking a ball. I made it on.
You did make it on. And ESPN showed it all weekend long. They showed your sign, and they showed the guy in the tree, and they showed your face all weekend long.
That's so great.
It paid off, man. Oh. You did it.
Job well done, Mikey. Job well done.
Jackson, well done.
It was a ride. I mean, I woke up. I set an alarm for 3:30 in the morning to check in on him. And he was already so down bad, had to pee. It was a nightmare for him the whole time. But I was trying to keep his spirits up. I was like, I saw you once earlier in the broadcast at like 9:30. And then I saw when they were teasing it like coming up next. So I was like, you got to hold out for like 20 more minutes and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished, bro.
Nice job, sir.
Well done. And we'll post it all on our social today, Elsa.
Listen, it's The Burt Show. This is The Burt Show.